Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliences. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
We're joined now by Julia Hatfield. And I met Julia, or encountered her for the very first time, through social media, as so many of us were on social media and combing the internet looking for information about what happened during this terrible flood in Kerr County, around Kerr County in Texas. I stumbled upon Julia's account. It turns out, actually, we have a few acquaintances in common, don't we, Julia? So it was sort of a fateful crossing, if you will, of content. And I saw that this young woman was posting about her experience during the flood. And I wanted to know more, so I reached out to Julia, and Julia is joining us today. And Julia, just to kind of get us started, I'm going to read just the first line of your Instagram post from that night where you shared a slideshow of different images. You wrote, "My husband woke me up at 4:35 a.m. and 15 minutes later, our RV was underwater." And just even thinking about that is frightening. So in order to get into the story a little bit, I just would like a little background for our audience. You were living in your RV with your husband. Can you tell us a little bit about how long you were in this park? How long had you been at this campsite, and how you made the decision to do that?
Yeah. So when my husband and I got engaged, we realized that being in an RV would be awesome. It'd been a dream of mine for a while, and he was totally down for it. And we'd moved across a few spots in the past, a little over a year. And it'd been our full-time spot. And we found Blue Oak RV Park. And it was right by the river. And the people were just so kind. They even have a wonderful restaurant at the top of the hill called Howdy's. And went and performed there a few times. And just really loved the community. So we moved in back in April.
Well, I can attest to that. As I was sharing with you, I'm an amateur RV owner, a pandemic purchase for a family with little kids. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to travel? Okay, we're going to buy an RV. And I have to tell you, and I want our audience to know this, is that some of your, you know, maybe what you think about an RV park versus what it is. I mean, some of these RV parks and campsites are incredible, and the community is very unique, very friendly. And especially in this particular part of Texas, Julia, it's beautiful, right? Why did you choose the site that you chose?
I mean, we looked at every park in the area, and we were kind of spending quite a bit of time at each place we'd park. And so I wanted it to be an area where we could be outside. So the past several months, or since April, I've been kayaking or painting by the river, or just trying to spend as much time in nature as possible. But between the nature, the people that we met going up to Howdy's, it was obvious that had to be the park for us.
Yeah, Kerrville is a very, in the surrounding area, it's just a very magical part of Texas. I've been describing these little parts of the river as almost out of a fairy tale when you see it, because of the clear water and the beautiful trees, and also just the people and the joy that comes with being around a body of water in Texas, especially during the summer. So As you're getting ready for July 4th, and I know you're a musician, we're going to talk a little bit about that later, just if we can, because I think it's one of the special things about you, is that you're going to perform on July 4th, and this was going to be part of the July 4th celebrations. What happened in the lead up to July 4th in the area? Was it raining? Was it drizzling? What was it like?
So I got in 11:30 the night before it all happened, and I had just driven from pretty much Abilene to Dallas back down to Kerrville. So it was about 9 hours in the car. And I was so tired when I got there because it had rained the whole way. I wasn't sure how much it had rained in the area. I went to bed pretty quick. I was really tired. And thankfully, my husband stayed up to make sure the RV wasn't leaking. And I think that decision might have saved our lives.
So when did your husband realize that something else was going on? Was he your first alert that something was wrong, that you're in a different situation than you thought of when you went to bed?
Yeah. Well, the lightning was striking all around us. And I mean, it just sounded like it was hitting the trees next to our RV. So I kept waking up from that. I saw one alert that said flash flood warning, which I've gotten 100 of those alerts, and most of the time nothing ever happens. And so that was probably around 3 or 3:30. I'm not honestly sure. I had just woken up and then fell back asleep pretty quick. But my husband started to hear screaming, and he went outside and he saw that the RVs below us on the lower level were starting to get washed away. And so he immediately woke me up, and just trying to process all of that when you first wake up. I didn't feel like I could even string thoughts together. It just came down to, what do you want to grab? And all I could think of were guitars, some SD cards, some Polaroids, things of that nature. And my husband grabbed a few things. We threw them in the car. And I heard that last year when it flooded at that park, it only flooded the lower level. And so I kept telling myself, this isn't happening. It's going to stop. It's going to stop. But meanwhile, there's people just screaming, and the sound of all these trees and these RVs just being smashed and broken. I just can't get those sounds out of my head. It was unbelievable. And so we got out just by the skin of our teeth, but rescue workers ended up showing up just as things were getting really, really bad. I say that really, really bad on our level. Because honestly, the RVs behind us, even before they were able to show up, were already floating down the river. It all happened so fast.
Can you describe to us what the park is like? And I'm calling it a park, but the campground is like, is it multiple levels? So was there, you know, as someone that had an RV, could you camp right next to the river? And then was there a higher level and then a higher level after? It was like stair steps. For those of us who haven't been there, what did it look like?
Yeah, so Howdy's, the restaurant's at the top of the hill, and then you immediately go downhill to the first level of RVs. I'm trying to think of how many feet that would be, maybe 15-foot difference, 20-foot difference in elevation, and then you could drive down to the next level. After that was a creek that branched off from the river, and then they called it the island in the middle where the weekenders would come. So there was a lot of people there for the 4th of July. Most of the families were able to get off the island. I was shocked, but there was one family they found yesterday of five who got washed off, and sadly they didn't make it.
When you wake up and you first walk outside your RV, what do you see? Is the water already lifting the RVs in the lower level off their wheels? So it's that fast. I mean, And was your husband up before that? Did it just happen just like that?
It happened that fast. It got from the river over the island into that first level, which the first level is pretty much the same as the island overall. It just flooded it really fast. And I think a lot of that has to do with how the river bends, because the campground just upriver from us next door, they had like 40 people missing, but because the river would bend right before them, I think that wave of water just went over And I mean, it just happened really fast.
So when we're hearing the description of a wall of water, does that sound accurate? That the level, it wasn't just this, you know, this gradual and fast rise, that it did it feel like that, like a wall of water that just came crashing like a wave into the RV area?
Yeah, that's where the lower level, I think most of the initial wave was there. But even looking back at videos, I mean, minute by minute, the water was rising at least a foot or two, easy.
And that's statistically what the data is showing us, and what was described, you know, how quickly that, if, you know, someone my size, I'm a little bit, you know, 5'4", 5'5", depending on how a good day or not, yeah. Am I standing up straight, you know, in 10 minutes, I could be instantly underwater. That's how quickly the water was rising. But I think even when we try to describe it in the news, it's hard to understand, because you wonder, well, wait, it can't really move that fast. And the reason why that's important is to understand the warnings. You know, was there a warning? Did people get a heads up? How much time did you have? So how much time did you have, Julia, to get, grab a couple things? And did you get in your car and just get up the road? Is that how you were able to get out?
Yeah. So the first video I went ahead and took as soon as I got out of the RV, I couldn't believe what we were seeing. And I'm also thinking about anybody who has insurance, any footage would be really helpful after the fact. I've already forgotten the question.
No, I want to tell everybody that you, for the last several days, we're so grateful for this insight, Julia. And for the last several days, you have been working with your bare hands, all the tools that your family can muster to try to help in the area. So this is your first time to really take a break. So please, no worries about all of that. I feel like I'm kind of in the same situation of like, what did I just say? And how to get us back on track.
Yeah.
But it was, go ahead.
First video was 4:37. That's what it was. 4:37. I got up to Howdy's, after we moved the car. When we came back down from parking in front of Howdy's, there was a woman who had just moved in next door to us. She had bought her RV the day before. Oh. And she was just desperately trying to get help to hitch it up or do something, because there was a small window. Lorena, the owner, she was saying, everybody get your stuff out from underneath, because, you know, there's kayaks and stuff that people store under there. And so I pulled the kayaks up to Howdy's, and they're gone. The water was so close to the restaurant. Just an insane amount of water. But by the time I got back up to the top, the water was under RV, and I think that was at 4:52.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Yeah, not a huge, you know.
Did you, how quickly did first responders get to where you work? Were people calling 911? You were mentioning people are yelling. It sounds like it was total chaos, as can be completely understood. Did anyone come?
Yes. After my husband woke me up, still nobody was there yet. We're frantically trying to figure out, what can we grab? What do we do? And around that time, probably about 5 minutes later, we started seeing the lights. But the screaming, I just know that there was so much of that was coming from the RVs of people who were still inside of them. And that's one of the hardest parts of all this, is just trying to process that. I don't even know how to process it.
I don't know if there is a way to process it. It's so frightening. It's terrifying. You know, just to even think about being in that situation or having to witness it too is terrifying. You mentioned a little boy in some of the first images that you had of this, again, this kind of chaotic scene that's unfolding. Can you just tell, I think this is going to bring home to people, and I'm not using this example gratuitously. I genuinely want people to understand what you saw and how chaotic the magnitude of it.
Yeah. After we moved the car, ran to the back again. And, I still was trying to figure out. At some point, I was standing up on the deck. At some point, I was right by the water. But somewhere in that time frame of running around, I'm just trying to figure out what was going on and how to help, because there were so many people still screaming. The water had gotten in front of our RV, and there was somebody in a truck. It was hard to tell if anyone was in it because the engine kept revving and the lights were flashing, but it sounded like somebody was trying to get out of there. And then next thing I know, there's a scream. And then I look, and there's a little boy who was getting pulled downriver in front of the RV. And it was dark at this point, because once the water reached the in front of our RV, the rescue workers had to move all their vehicles up the hill. And right after they did that is when this thing with the little boy happened. And so he got pulled down the river, and he was screaming, and I wanted so bad to just jump in and try to do something. And my husband, who was a lifeguard for a long time, who knows a lot more about this kind of thing than I do, he just kept yelling at me, "Do not get in the water, do not get in the water." Because, at that point, if you go in there, you're going to just go with everything else. So, and it was just a few seconds and he was already gone. And so I was just screaming to the top of the hill at the rescue workers and a friend of mine from a neighbor at the RV park. And I just kept saying, "There's a little boy, there's a little boy." But he was gone. And when we got back to the house, I just collapsed in his arms, and I just felt so guilty.
Yeah.
And I know there's nothing I could have done, and that's what my husband kept telling me, that we can't do anything. It's just it happened so fast, and you just keep asking, "But what if I'd done this? What if I'd done that?" And I just didn't know how I was going to live with that. And a friend of mine, by the grace of God, was reading my post as they were watching the news, and it said a little boy washed away from an RV park, and he was found, and he survived. Oh. And I had this gut feeling that it was him. And I don't even know how to describe this. It's not that I saw the little boy super close to me, like face to face. But I told my mom that day, if that little boy walked up to me, I could tell you exactly who it was. I could tell you that was him. And I looked up his photo, and sure enough, the little boy I described was in the photo.
Oh my gosh.
And that just, despite everything, I just had this overwhelming peace at that point, because there were so many thoughts running through my head, the loss of life, the trauma of it. Our home's gone, memories are gone. And those things just kept cycling through my head. But that little boy, I could not get him out of my head. And to find out that he survived was just gave me a lot of peace.
One of the lessons you learn in journalism school, they tell you, is never ask a question that you're not really prepared for the answer. And sometimes you can get yourself into those situations because, political debate with someone, something that sounds totally frivolous compared to what we're talking about right now. As you're telling this story, I'm thinking to myself, I want to protect you as someone that I'm interviewing. I want to protect that little boy and his family. And I'm thinking of this worst case scenario when you just told me that he survived. I just can't help but tear up myself. What an incredible story. And thank God. God that he survived. And we were talking earlier, part of the reason why I was hoping that we would talk is that there's so many voices that are part of the story right now. And yet I sort of feel like the people that experienced it aren't getting the paramount coverage. We're already, instantly gut reaction moving to policy or politics. And it's like, wait a minute, does anyone even understand what actually happened here? That what actually transpired. And so this insight is so important. What happens in the hours after? So this is all happening in the dark, which I think is also important. The weather is still awful. As day breaks, what now starts to happen?
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
It's through that.
Yeah, what you said about being at night, I mean, there were people asleep in their RVs who got taken before they even knew there was a flash flood. Right before we left, the rental cabins from next door started floating over into our RV and everybody else's RVs that were stacking up. There was somebody who was standing on the front porch of one of them, and nobody could get to him. At that point, the water was still rising so much, it was time to get out. And so we got in the car. My parents, who thankfully only live about 40 minutes away, we came to their house and told them what happened and went back probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours later. And we pulled up, and it was just gone. Everything was gone. And I think up until that point, I had thought if the water stopped, or at least stayed there, maybe they're just all stacked in the corner of the RV park. Once the water got to 30-something feet, I mean, we found the bottom half of the RV at least a half mile away, which we expected it to be further, but just because of the route that it took, it went into a bunch of trees, and it's just rubble. There's pieces of hundreds of RVs and cars that are just completely crushed. And so we came back, I guess it was the next day, it all just kind of blends together, and walked down the river. And we didn't expect to even see a piece of our RV at that point. But my husband just had this weird feeling and walked around this one pile and these miles of debris. And there was just the frame, but it had just enough markings. It had the floor that we had just installed and a bunch of things that we had fixed on the RV, the new leg that we got on it when we moved into Blue Oak. So it was easy to tell that was ours. But after that point, I mean, just from walking from point A to point B to where our RV was, I had talked to so many friends who were looking for loved ones and just strangers who were begging for somebody to keep an eye out for a vehicle, a license plate.
And, how many RVs would you estimate were in your area?
So at our park at Blue Oak, it was anywhere from 24 to 28 at the time. I'm assuming that number, from what I've heard, includes the short-term, the weekenders who were here for the holiday. Next door to us, I'm honestly not sure how many RVs were in there, but there were also rental cabins, and it being a holiday weekend, they seemed to be pretty packed. And initially, they said 40 people were missing from that camp. That one's called HTR. And I still don't know the honest number of how many are still missing. There's been a lot of reports of different numbers, but upwards of 40.
The reason why I think this is really important too is we're just getting, I think we're just at the initial part of this story. And knowing some of these campgrounds and campsites and knowing how easy it is to say, hey, we're going to go camping. Hey, you want to take your cousin or you want to take your friend, and not really knowing how many people could be in one RV. I mean, the numbers could just grow exponentially. And we don't know that yet. You've been trying to help with some of the recovery efforts. First of all, were you able to recover anything from your RV? And can you just describe like how difficult and challenging any of this debris removal is, considering the elements?
I mean, it's like towers of debris. And initially we had to be pretty careful just being in the area because, I mean, you hear some of the piles of debris start to creak as they settled. It definitely wasn't the safest environment, that's for sure. But after that point, we just kind of looked around at some people who were, had like a bulldozer, a few chainsaws came over and tried to help us at least move it a little bit, because in part we were imagining there are going to be a lot of people who were found in those piles. And there's just nothing left. There wasn't really much to even try and salvage. It was just a pile of mud with an RV frame. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, though, I think the closure set in. It was like, this is our home. It's gone. What's next? And really what was next is just, what can we do to help our neighbors, and just what we can do to help the community and support the community. And so we went back to Howdy's and tried to figure out what the game plan was for the next day. And so my dad loaded up his tractor, and we didn't really have any clothes to wear to go help. So my husband and I went to Walmart and got some work boots and went on our way, and just did whatever, been doing whatever we can to help. Because at the end of the day, I just keep thinking about how property can't compare to the loss of life. Loss of property is what it is. But the loss of life, it just, those are the people who I feel like we have been trying to focus on most and helping them however we can. And so we started out behind Blue Oak and started cleaning up and working our way downriver.
Part of this story, though, is that the weather has continued to be a problem. Even on July 4th, when you went back to see what was happening with the flood, it's been raining, right? Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that, because as you've been back and helping, there's also now been flood alerts. And that's caused a lot of trauma too. You know, people had been through the flood, now you're getting flood alerts, now you're telling them. So talk to us a little bit about that, because the story doesn't end just with the flood water rising and then receding. You have now all of these elements to still continue to contend with.
Yeah. When yesterday, that's when the bulk of the work started really happening, at least for us, when we were able to get the tractor there and start moving things and helping out. But I was down near... Keep cutting out.
That's okay. Now you're back.
My husband keeps calling me. He should know what I'm doing. I told him 5:30.
So my husband does the same thing. You know, yeah. I don't know what's wrong with these men. I need to send them an invite, a calendar invite. Just leave me alone for a second. I got like 5 more minutes.
Just 1 second. If he calls back, I'll start taking it a little more seriously after the
Yes, I understand. Please.
So I went down, my mom and I went down towards that area, and my husband, my dad with his tractor and everything. And we were just kind of forming assembly lines, trying to sort through these piles. Then all of a sudden there's screaming, get up, get to the top of the hill. And so we're sitting there waiting for this water, and then it doesn't come. And then we go back down and start working again. And then they had to bring the cadaver dogs through, of course. And so they didn't want everybody sent to get in the way. But then when we thought we were going to be able to help again, we get another warning that there's a bunch of water coming down. So we got a bunch of warnings yesterday that didn't happen, which was really frustrating, because we just want to get in there and help. We don't want to sit there and stare at it.
Well, and you told me an anecdote earlier that I thought was really important, that you have a lot of people gathering, and we all know that alarm that goes off on our phone. And you described that, like, for some phones it was going off, other phones it's not going off. Like, and we can all, right? How many of us have been in a restaurant or been in a grocery store and something like that happens, but it's happening to somebody's phone next to you, but not your phone? It's confusing.
Yep. I think I got one alert yesterday, but I kept hearing other people's phones going off. And at some point, they were right. When we made it behind Howdy's at Blue Oak, when we were back in that area again towards the end of the day, sure enough, about the river rose about 2 feet, and you could tell it was coming because stuff was being washed down really quickly. So it ended up happening, but not all day.
That is such a good example, though. I just want to go back quickly to the night of the flood. You remember getting one alert on your phone that woke you up, but did you get, were there repeated alerts on your phone throughout the next several hours?
Not really. I think the next alert might have been when we were driving back home after the RV got washed away. So it was just kind of sporadic, and I'm not sure who all got the alert and who all didn't, but I think in those instances, what you really need is somebody say, evacuate now.
Well, and that brings to another point that you mentioned, again, just to emphasize what you said earlier. In this part of Texas, we get flood watches and warnings a lot. Yep. It's hard to know. So if the one that you got just the other day was 2 feet of water, no big deal. But if it's something like this, it's so different. So I just want to share that with others, not to think that you just dismissed a flood warning. These happen a lot, right? I mean, as you've been living in the area, Julia, you've received these before.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, all over Texas, but especially this area of Texas too, because I mean, the river was only 7.5 feet deep before this happened. There were so many parts the past couple months where I'd have to get out and drag my kayak to get into the next part that at least had a few feet of water. So you'd think even a lot of water would just help fill it up, but that amount of water just, there's nothing to be done at that point.
Too much. As you've been watching the news reports, I'm sure you've been watching news in general. As someone that's experienced it, that's a unique perspective to be watching a story that's about you. And I'm wondering if you could share with our audience, as you're watching, do you feel like the media is missing something or not emphasizing something enough? Or are you frustrated at all with the coverage? I think that would be something that our community would be very curious about.
Yeah, I think just all the emotions that the victims and just the people who lost property and more importantly, lost family or friends, I think as everyone's processing these emotions, there's a lot of questions that are popping into our heads. But honestly, at the end of the day, the focus has been on the loss itself. And so I hope in the future that there's some way to be able to say, hey, there's a lot of water coming and people need to get out. I remember Wimberley well when the flood happened there. And from what I've heard, they were able to put in some implementation, some kind of way of preventing it in the future, at least being able to not prevent the water, but to be able to let people know. I mean, I hope in the future this doesn't happen again, that the loss of life is not so significant. This kind of felt like one of those 500-year floods. And I think a lot of people are confused as to why nobody saw it coming. But, you know, when you're dealing with that much water going that fast, it just happens so quickly that there's not much that can be done. Maybe if there was some way to implement some kind of sirens or something like that, maybe that would give people a few more minutes. But I mean, 45 minutes, 26 feet, it's just a lot of water.
Yeah. And as you point out, like really specific directions, you know, that you need to leave. We talked a little bit about that in some of our coverage today. Again, we're speaking on Monday, July 7th. And one of the questions I had was about technology. You know, can we use AI here? Is this a place that AI really works, where you have a certain, you know, formula and then, you know, it can tell the future? Like, that's the way where technology seems that it could help us. And I'm going to look into that. For those that don't know, the Wimberley flood that Julia's mentioning took place about 25 minutes from where I live. Another very horrific flash flood, similar situation in the early summer, and just devastating, and very little warning and very little precedent for it. So this area is known for that. So maybe we can get better and use technology to our favor. Julia, do you write your own music? I'm curious if so, and I have you been, is, will you process something like this in some of your songs? Is that one of the ways that you are able to reflect on life? Do you, I don't want to say use it, but do you channel it into your art?
Definitely. I started writing at a young age, kind of as a form of therapy, because I'm not always the best at communicating how I'm feeling. And that was kind of my outlet to do that. And so it's just natural for me to start writing if I'm trying to process something. And I started a song the day of, the night I got home and get back to my parents. And one of the lines was, it's just a bunch of junk in a plastic box. And just realizing that the fact that I have my husband, that I have my guitar, that's all I've really needed so far. So I think that people who have lost family and friends, that's where I'm starting to try and process. Maybe write about things.
You're very good at communicating, by the way, an amazing storyteller, and that you're able to bring us along, which is really an amazing tool. Julia, thank you for the time. I really appreciate it. Are you going back in the next couple of days? Is that what the kind of the next few days hold for you and your husband and your family?
Yeah. I wanted to go back really bad today, but my husband, he's been my rock through all of this. He just stayed cool, calm, and collected the whole time. His only focus was getting me out. And after that, that was the concern, and helping the people around us. And he's just been my rock. But last night he said, I really think you could use a day. I was just so physically exhausted after hauling stuff yesterday. I got a bunch of blisters. And he said, just take the day. And I didn't want to, but I'm kind of glad that I did. It's given me some time to process before I go back out there and try to help tomorrow. So he's out there with my mom right now. But we'll be back out there as long as somebody needs help.
Well, you let us know too, Julia, will you, how you see, if you have eyes on the ground, the best way that we can help. I'd love to include that for our audience. They're looking for ways to help. And it sounds like you got yourself a good man. I'm glad you're, that's a big decision.
So pointed out, we met on a cruise ship. I was performing on a cruise ship when we met. And he pointed out the other night, a lot of our stories so far has to do with water.
You know, we don't get to write all our stories. We get to make a few key choices. One of them is who we married, and everything else is kind of up to something bigger. because of your break, we were able to talk today. And Julia, I really appreciate it. So let's stay in touch, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jenna.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.